Hello everyone, this is Jen Blackert, and thank you for joining us today. Today you're in for a real treat. Today we're talking to Shelby Collinge, and Shelby is a law of attraction expert. Hi Shelby.
How are you?
I have to start this call with the background on how we met, because I have been really, really impressed with your work. I came to you and I said, hey, I'm doing a book launch, The Seven Dragons, Guide to a Limitless Mind. Can I send you a copy? Blah, 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 seeing if you would help me promote it. And I ended up instead becoming very fascinated with your work and how you handled the law of attraction. There's a lot of us experts out there that do things a little bit differently. And I, just by inviting you to do that, I ended up on your email list. And then I thought, grr, somebody put me on their email list without me opting in. And then I started reading them, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is good work. And I started just being fascinated with your work and how you built your business. Then you joined my mastermind group, and I've just been, I guess I'm just trying to say, I think that you're amazing. I'm so glad that you're going to share some of your secrets. Let's start out with, how do you define the law of attraction when people come up to you and really don't know what it is? What do you say?
I say that we get what we think about all day long, whether it's wanted or not.
Mm.
And I think that's the real key. And really the power behind the whole message is that, you know, there's a lot of us out there who are visualizing and we're saying our affirmations and people have seen The Secret and they're really out there with their dream boards, and that's all fabulous. But it really depends on, you know, what the feelings are beneath all of that and what you expect. You know, one of the points I'll talk about today is the power of expectation. You know, a lot of us are out there hoping to win but expecting to fail. It's kind of like, yeah, I really hope that I'm going to achieve this. I really hope things are going to work out. But deep down, if you really, you know, broke through all the crust on the top, they just really expect it to be just like it was yesterday, just like it was last week, that nothing's ever going to change. And the frustration comes in, especially when you're in business and you're doing a lot of action and you're networking and you're doing a lot of things and you're not getting the result. That's where that frustration comes in. And it's because people keep doing and they're not spending enough time, you know, really going back to how they're feeling. And the universe responds to how we feel, not what words we say and not what actions we take, but the feeling. It's the feeling that gets the blessing. So I always tell people that we get what we feel about.
Yeah,
so
we do.
That really, yeah.
We get, and I say we get who we are, because sometimes we don't even know that we're feeling like, I think that it's interesting, and I, you know, even in my own life and, you know, working with so many clients, a flashlight gets really focused on, well, why don't you think that you can? And people go, well, I think I can, you know, and they try to use this power, you know, they try to overpower themselves, like, I can do this, I can do this. And in their head every day, they wake up and they're like, I can do this. But just because they are telling themselves, I can do this, that's their conscious mind telling their subconscious mind, that possibly may mean that their subconscious is already programmed that they don't believe they can, right?
Right.
When you go, I can do this, that's not the same as it's happening, right?
The thing that people really need to embody is that we aren't typically a society that deals with anything that's not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you think about bills and, you know, relationships, and a lot of people have exes and they've got children. And so there's, you know, nobody wants to talk about the things that aren't going well. And the fact of the matter is what we resist persists. And so many of us have things that are going on in our lives, and it's kind of like the Norton or the McAfee, you know, antivirus. It comes up and it says, you know, you need to run your scan, and we kind of minimize it and stick it back down, or remind me in a couple of days. And then in a couple of days, it comes back up and says, okay, we need to do this again. And we minimize it. We don't deal with it. Come back, remind me again in a couple of days. And sooner or later, you get a virus, and it wipes out the whole computer. And so many of us have things that aren't the way we would like. And rather than kind of, you know, spend a little bit of time to acknowledge that and to say, okay, what is it that I really want? We just ignore it and we stuff it back down. And so even sometimes the wins that we do get, they're very short-lived because there's so many other things that aren't, you know, up to par or aren't where we would like them to be. And it really comes down to what we believe, you know, the beliefs that mom and dad have, you can absolutely guarantee you've got them. And the beliefs that grandma and grandpa had, you can absolutely believe that you have them. To the degree, that's a different story, but you know you have them because that's what was given to you. So if people don't know what kind of beliefs they have, they really need to look at the results that they're getting. I mean, life's the mirror.
Right.
So if you're not where you want to be financially, then you have a belief about making more. If you don't have the exact type of clients or the amount of clients or the type of relationships that support you, you know, Jen had mentioned we mastermind. If you don't have these support groups, you know, there's beliefs in your way saying, you know what, I don't deserve them, I can't have them, I'll never be able to find them. And we need to start flushing those beliefs out. You need to at least notice them, because if it doesn't serve you, it'll fall away. But so many of us, we just run from it rather than say, you know, I don't really love this part of my life or this area. I would really like it if I had a summer home. I was speaking with a colleague yesterday, and you know, when we both got right down to it, I don't want to live in just one place year-round. I really need different types of climates. You know, I need to not be in Las Vegas in the summer. So that, you know, that becomes clear. Now that intention can be set that, you know, I'm manifesting a place somewhere that's a little cooler this time of year. It's most likely going to be out of the country. And it just so happens that the colleague I was speaking to yesterday had all of those contacts. It was like one of the first things out of her mouth was, I'm moving to Belize. Have you ever thought of living out of the country? And I laughed. I absolutely laughed because that's exactly what I was thinking about. And there's my answer. The very next person I spoke to, and she emailed me all the URLs of all of the brokers she has overseas that do just this. And I thought, is that not hysterical? You know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And that really is how it works. We're just so busy making it hard
that we're not seeing
the forest from the trees.
I call it resistant. We're so busy resisting everything because we feel internally that, oh, this is a gimmick, because we've been taught that. You know, I think that, you know, if we could just allow what we attract to really come in, then, you know, life would be, I mean, God really set up this world so that it is very, very simple. And I think that
so
it's
so simple that,
we've
just
made it
hard for our logical minds.
Yeah.
And, you know, that really is the pivotal point. You know, the more you can get more in that right-brained and more connected, again, with the feelings and, you know, just how life's showing up. I mean, if you can get out of the habits. You know, 90% of what we do, if not more, is habitual every day. The people we call, the routes we take to work, when we drive, when we go to the store, when we pick up the kids, everything. It's like we're in this habit. It's not where you're really conscious a lot of the time. We're just going on autopilot. And that's where life gets hard, because our autopilot is not the quickest, fastest way to anything. And the more people can just pop out of that habit, the more they're going to notice different things. You know, I often tell clients, you know, pick a different way to go to work or to that place every time. You know, my son laughs because I'm always changing up the route. I'm always trying something different, going this way, taking this road, because it keeps your mind flexible. You don't get into those again, habits where you're just doing exactly what you're doing and you're just not noticing all the tidbits that are coming at you saying, here's your answer, here's your answer. Here's somebody who wants to talk to you. Here's your next client in front of you at the grocery store. I think the more we can, you know, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And people really need to remember that. So if you want something different, you need to think differently. You need to be doing something differently. And that's where change is such a valuable, fabulous thing. Again, that colleague I was talking to who had all the contacts yesterday, she says, you know, it's so refreshing to talk to someone like you, because she says, you know, if you found the property, she's going to Belize in like a week and a half. And I said, oh, I'd move tomorrow. I mean, literally, I'd be there tomorrow. And she goes, you know, I just love somebody who is that, you know, adaptable, who mm-hmm. is that willing to, you know, free-spirited almost. And it's, I've, you know, through my story, and I don't know how much we'll get into it today, but, you know, life has showed up for me, you know, throughout my whole life, and it's been nothing of what I expected. I couldn't plan what I've experienced if I'd tried. I mean that on both ends of the spectrum, both positively and negatively. You know, I couldn't plan it if I had tried. And so I've just learned that the more I dig my heels in and say this is the way life has to be, the more I get smacked around. And the more I say, you know what, I'm just going to roll with it, the more amazing it gets, which is very counterintuitive to what a lot of people are living. They really think, you know, that the same is better. And so the challenge for all of you listening and who have, you know, stepped forward in this way for this program is to really think differently. You know what you've gotten thus far, so you could always go back to that. But just try, just, you know, release the conviction that it has to be the way you think. Because I have found that everything that happens to me, I never could have imagined it. So if I were the one in control of it all, it would be so small by comparison to what it really is. And so we really have to get our fingers, those that tight grip we have, and it's like, you know, the blood is almost gone from the fingertips because we're gripping on so hard and so tight to just what isn't working. And the sooner we can say, you know what, I'm open to change. Anybody who's a doubter, anybody who says, you know, I've been trying and it doesn't work, you've got to keep plugging and you've got to keep choosing what you want to believe, because belief is nothing more than a thought we think over and over and over again.
So Shelby,
so it's not something hard.
Let's use an example. Let's take somebody through the process, since this is a business-related law of attraction call.
Mm-hmm,
let's take
mm-hmm.
somebody through a process where they are, you know, they're like, I'm trying to grow my business. No, you tell me to think differently or do something differently, but I am. I'm trying all these different things. I'm here and there, and I still can't grow my business to the level that I desire. Where do you start with that?
Okay, so the first thing I would start with is to remove all language that says I can't and replace it with language that says I won't. Because there's a big difference. If you can't, all of your power goes away. And, you know, the real bogus thing that we've been fed is that we don't know how to manifest. We don't know how to attract. We don't know. The fact of the matter is you're doing it. So, you know, you also have to give up this pervasive, you know, lay down, if you will, that says, I don't know how to do this. You know, I don't know how to attract, because you are attracting. It's whether or not you like what it is you're attracting. But there's no one out there who's not attracting, who's not, you know, manifesting every single reality that they're experiencing right now. So people really do have to own the belief that I am 100% responsible for the results that I get in every area of my life. I am 100% responsible. So as soon as you can stop, you know, giving your power away, saying it's the economy, it's, you know, the speech that I'm doing, it's my clothes, it's the type of clients, and get more in line with that it's me. You know, you fix how you're bringing yourself to the game, and life will respond to that. We really have to, people don't get ready in the morning, okay? Nobody listening to this call gets up, showers, and then doesn't look in the mirror again. In fact, we're getting ready the whole time in front of the mirror. You get dressed before you leave. Most everybody checks themselves in the mirror to make sure everything's put together and, you know, we're looking okay. And so many of us go into a meeting and absolutely do not check what it is we're setting for an intention, what outcome we want, that we expect great things. You know, that's one of my mottos. Every single day, I affirm it 100 times a day. I expect great things. How many of us really expect things to go well? And so we have to just start, you know, bit by bit, moment by moment, you know, choosing to say, things are going my way. I know that I'm going to meet a great client today. I know that somebody I speak to is going to have a fabulous lead for me. I know that I've done this before. Again, when somebody has a success, it's very short-lived. Typically, you don't call your friends and go, guess what fabulous things happened to me? Most of the time, it's like, guess what didn't happen to me? Guess what went wrong today? The focus is on what we don't want, and we have to really own that and begin to expect, like I said, expect great things, and also realize that we get what we focus on, and it's not going, I'm thinking of a client named Wendy. She's a client of mine. She's been a client now for, I'm going to say about 6 months in a number of different programs that I offer. And she was in my Manifesting Attraction and Alignment workshop, and she's a home designer. And she's got three children, two of which are small, a husband. You know, the children that are very young aren't in school, so she's, you know, daycare, stay-at-home mom. And here, you know, through working with me, it was all the same beliefs that we all have. You know, I have kids. I don't have enough time for this. It's too hard to find clients. You know, I don't have the money to advertise. And the list went on and on and on and on and on. And I then proceeded to tell her that I don't have Yellow Page ads. I don't pay for Google AdWords. I don't pay for search engine optimization. And I listed a couple of the things that I don't do, and all of a sudden her beliefs shifted. Like, well, maybe I don't have to do that either then.
Yeah.
And then that just that small alignment. And then I said, you know, the law of attraction is always working. So if you can be focused on what you want, which is the perfect clients, they pay you in advance, because then she had clients that would have her do all the work, then they would pay her. And I said, had you ever thought of getting the payment first? And it was like, then another belief changed. Oh, maybe I could expect the money first. And the more we go out and pick up the beliefs that we want, this is where the seek and you shall find comes in. We're all looking for the proof. And it's just as easy to, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I had
cut out.
Yeah.
So it's all about, you know, when we change those beliefs, small shifts make huge results. And at the end of the story, you know, she had manifested in like a week four paying clients, higher paying than she had ever had. They paid her first, and they were perfect on every level without the advertising. But we really have to begin to at least examine the beliefs that we're holding, because that's the real nemesis. It's what we're telling ourselves, that story, like, it can't happen. It's never happened before. You know, I haven't seen anybody have it happen. I only know people who it doesn't happen to. And again, who we surround ourselves with, what books we read, what audios we listen to, if whether or not you watch the news, which channel, all of it is choice. And yeah. A lot of us just like to give our power away and say, you know what, I don't know why it's not working.
That's the easy. That's the easy.
Right.
You said,
and it's what everybody else has always done.
Yeah, you said a few things that I wanted to point out. That, you know, maybe, you know, some people have hit question marks in their head. And, for example, I mean, I am literally now programmed that my husband will call and say, how did the call go? And I'll tell him all the good things about how the call went. There occasionally, if the line goes dead or something like that, then I will go in my head, Well, yeah, the wine went bad, but sometimes I won't say that out loud. What do you do when you still think of these things? You know, maybe you're acting all positive on the outside, but on the inside, your head is still going, yeah, but the line went dead and I had to recall in and, you know, whiny, whiny, whiny. How do you address that? You know, when people are like, well, I am being positive outwardly, but internally, you know, everything's not completely cleaned up.
Well, it's a fabulous question because people, the short answer is that you've got to notice how long you stay on the negative voice will never go away. Let me just preface it by saying that ego voice that says, oh, the call, you know, the clarity wasn't what it should have been, the recording didn't work, you know, that's happened to me before. Mm-hmm. That voice will never disappear. So if anybody's seeking the day when all they hear is harps and angels and, you know, all it is the cheerleader, that day, you know, probably will never come. Because that voice is there for a reason. The key is to not let that voice run the show. So if that voice pops in that says, you know, oh, the call didn't record and blah, 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 how long do we stay on that channel? I tell clients to visualize themselves like a radio dial in your car. When you get in, you hit the button and you're on 98.6. And it's not until you change the button again do you get something different. It's not like you turn on the country station and then get mad at the radio because country's playing and it's not jazz or top 40. You want something different. You need to change the dial. Mm. The same is true with your mind. So if something happens and you're on the Happiness FM channel and then you talk to somebody and you decide to go on the Woe Is Me channel, just notice how long you're choosing to stay there.
Yeah.
Because it is a choice.
One of my mentors really worked with me on observing the mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and literally just, you know, we took like a rubber band around the wrist. I do that for several things when I'm trying to change a belief, do that rubber band around the wrist. But it was like every hour on the hour, you know, have some tickler that comes up and says, okay, what am I thinking about? And what am I thinking about really internally within? And that, just doing that for 1 week profoundly shifted because I was doing things I wasn't even aware of.
Well, and the key to take it one step further, because people, you know, you can go out of your mind trying to do that, is to just notice what your attitude is. Because your attitude is made up of your emotions. So if you're in a good mood and you find yourself, you're humming and you're smiling, and, you know, I can always immediately... I'm very conscious, you know, most of the day, but if I'm in a store and people aren't smiling back at me, I'm conscious of that because that means I'm not putting out a smile because we get what we put out. So, you know, if I'm not smiling, then I'm thinking about something probably that I don't want.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything changes physiologically in us when we're thinking happy thoughts and when you're smiling and you just feel lighter, you've got more energy, you've got far more patience, you know, things just go a lot smoother. But what people really need to really understand is that there is no happy endings to an unhappy journey. So you can't be miserable all day long and expect $1 million. You can't be, you know, a victim of life all day long on the pity party and have 20 new clients at the end of the week.
Well, the truth is there are some really disgruntled people that push, push, push and fight, fight, fight for the deal and make a lot of money, right?
But it's very short-lived.
They will themselves through it.
I mean, I'd find it hard-pressed to It's against universal principle. I mean, you can't buck it. You can't buck law of attraction. And, you know, we only see people, here's the key too, you only see people a certain couple minutes each day. So what really happens, it's why, you know, some people are just shocked when their neighbors foreclose or when something happens, they're like, I had no idea. The fact of the matter is we see people, you know, in reality, very seldom, you know, it's mostly it's what they want us to see. So this is where people, you know, when you get honest with yourself and you look at the results, you know, you can't argue with that. There's no, there's no smearing, you know, like they mentioned in What the Bleep, that smearing of positive thinking amongst, you know, an unpleasant pile. This is where the frustration comes in, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm thinking positive and I'm visualizing and I expect great things, but it's not happening. And then I get on the phone with them and I can just feel the anger reeking through the phone. just pure madness that it hasn't happened yet. And I say, how is that dial in alignment with getting what you want? I say to clients, what would it be like? And everybody can do this exercise. What would life be like if the one thing that would make the biggest difference in your life, maybe it's more money, maybe it's the relationship, maybe it's new clients, maybe it's a new joint venture partner. What one thing would make the biggest difference in your life if you had it? And then imagine what life would be like if you did have it. The things you would be doing, how happy you would be, and people you would be calling. And then ask yourself, how much of that are you doing right now?
How much of that are you feeling right now?
Right. So people would say, oh, my gosh, my life would be so fabulous. You know, I'd be going out to lunch with colleagues. I'd be making great deals. I'd be so much lighter. Things would be, I'd have, you know, people calling me all day long. I'd be networking. I'd be out there. And I say, well, how much of that are you doing now? And they go, well, none of it, because I'm not there yet. And it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The universe doesn't respond to what you're doing. The universe responds to how you're being. So if you were being that, you would have it. But all of us are waiting for something outside to say, yes, now you're ready. Yes, now you can do this. Yes, now you're worthy of moving forward. Now you're successful. Now you know what you're doing. And I'm here to say, if you can't say, I know what I'm doing, there's nobody outside of you that will tell you that. Because life mirrors back what it is we truly believe. So, you know, if there's anybody who's got to toot your horn, it's got to be you. And the more you toot your horn, the more others will then recognize it and toot it back. But if you don't believe in you, your clients can't believe in you. The joint venture partners can't believe in you if you don't believe in you. And so many of us are waiting for somebody outside of us to say, you know what, I believe in you. And then when that happens, we say, once it does happen, if it does happen, well, I don't know, maybe he's not right. Are you sure? Are you positive? I need somebody else to tell me. And so it's like it's never good enough. We have to believe in us first. So we have to believe in our products. We have to believe in how it is in the persons that we are. And when you embody that and you fill those shoes, life will shower that back. But if anybody out there is waiting for something outside of them to happen before they deem themselves worried, you know, worthy to move forward, you'll be waiting forever.
Yeah,
and that really is where the rubber meets the road.
And don't you think people are like, well, I'll just wait around and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And
then, you know, let me know. Sit around. Let me know. I know what'll happen. I mean, but you know, we all have to come to those findings in our own way, in our own life, in our own time. So, you know, people just have to say, okay, this is how it's been so far. Either I like it, I'm willing to try something new, or I don't. I mean, it really is as simple as that. It's like working out, okay? Nobody on this call would think to go to a gym, your nearest Gold's Gym, with a $100 bill, and the first guy walking in the door saying, you know what, here's $100, go do 150 sit-ups for me, okay? I want you to do good sit-ups. I want them to be the best sit-ups you've ever done. I want to look fabulous, so go, here. And everybody listen to this would say, of course nobody would pay somebody else to do their push-ups, because nobody can do your push-ups for you. So nobody can, you know, believe in you if you don't. Nobody can attract the success for you if you're not attracting it. It's always a zero-sum game. So
yeah.
If it's not working, if life isn't exactly what you want, and I do mean exactly what you want, then you just got to change you. You don't have to go out and change a million other people, and this should be really good news. For everybody listening, you don't have to go out and change the clients. You don't have to go out and change the economy and all of the. You just have to change you. and what you're bringing to the table. And, you know, at least as much as you, you know, check the mirror in a day, check what it is you're telling yourself. If you could just do that, as much time as we spend, you know, fixing our hair, making sure our sunglasses, making sure there's not food in our teeth, you know, making sure the kids look well or, and our, you know, check it, spend as much time thinking consciously about something that you want. I'm telling you, your life will change in a matter of days. It's just, it's a little challenging in the beginning because, again, we're in those habits. And it's just so easy to fall back into what you've always done. But again, you do what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten. And that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I before the call, I kind of came up with a situation that I thought maybe you could walk me through.
Mm-hmm.
And my situation is I delegate a lot. But the people that I'm delegating to, they don't manifest the kind of creations, the kind of clients that I would manifest on my own. So if I would make my own cold calls and I do my own sales, and if, you know, even on a mailer, you know, trying to get it all put together and on the direct response copy, I can't get people to manifest the way that I manifest when I delegate. Now, is that my belief system that I don't believe that I can hire somebody good enough for me?
Absolutely, because here's the thing.
Darn, I thought maybe that was what it was, but I've been trying to change it. I've been trying.
What you're saying is I have a vision, I'm a manifester, but there's someone between me and my manifestation, and universe says, okay. Because unless you believe that they can slow you down, what difference does it make? It's your belief that somebody doing it can't manifest quite as well as you can. What if they could do even better? You know,
yeah,
play with that belief.
I have
play
played with that. I said, I'm going to hire an expert at this, and they will do better. And I did.
Uh-huh.
And they're not. And I'm pissed. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
But see, that's that. See, so you see what channel, it's not on I expect them to do it, right? You have, you looked, you have what is itis.
Mm.
So I always tell clients to spend more time what ifing and less time what ising.
Mm.
So they do one thing, you look at the results, and then you stay focused there. This is what happened. It's not going to get any better. And so rather than more start converting or some slower lag, you know, something comes in a little slower, but it picks up, you know, we keep looking at what is. And if you keep looking at what is, what are you going to keep getting?
I'm going to keep
what
getting
is.
What is. And I'm
so
keep
you just keep noticing a lot how they're not manifesting the way you would.
Mm.
So it really is, you know, when you hear yourself say, you know, I wanted to hire this expert, just the words, you could feel the energy that start rolling off your tongue, right? I thought I would hire this expert that would, and again, when you're doing that, then you're giving all of your power away to say, this is the person then that can do everything. We're not, it's almost like if you look at it from an energy perspective, if you've got 100% of your energy, you gave away 70% in hopes that she or he did the right thing with it, rather than keep your 100% and use them as a tool to tune it higher. It's kind of like you dumped it all on their doorstep, if you will. Do you see what I'm saying? It's
sure.
And now they're getting, I mean, for lack of a better term, now they're getting the blame. That's the sacrificial lamb that we're using, right, is they're not doing it right. When nobody can buck your current, you know, nobody can buck your current. That's where we have to really own, I am 100% responsible for the results that I'm getting in every area of my life. So if there's somebody that you bring in and then you say, oh, it's kind of like the economy. It's the economy. You know, people aren't buying because there's not enough money out there. And I say, baloney. There's 6+ billion people in this world. To think that we can't have the cream of the crop is absolutely, I don't know where we got it. I mean,
yeah,
just
you
Murphy's
know,
Law.
I guess I kind of, when I look at client attraction, I think you've got to be kidding me. look at how many people are out there. You know,
right.
you're just not thinking. And
you're just not believing
because you don't right, because you don't believe that you can. So if you
well,
believe,
and it really comes
might...
back to because we've been ingrained that, you know, my mom said it to me this morning. It was the funniest thing. And again, I'm very conscious, so I hear it. And as much work as I've done on myself, I don't get emotionally triggered by these phrases anymore. But at one time I did. And anything that triggers you, you know there's great, you know, that's the key to your abundance right there when something can set you off. Mm. So, but she said, you know, oh, work hard today. And I chuckle because isn't that something we all were told? You've got to work hard for your
mm-hmm.
money. You know,
yeah.
things don't come easy. So what do? We make ourselves work 40 hours a week. We make ourselves work 60 hours a week. And, you know, that belief got challenged for me, you know, 14 years ago when I was in corporate world making more money than I'd ever made, maybe working 20 hours a week.
Mm.
And so it started to work for the inverse for me. I used to think, how much could I get done in the least amount of time and still make this money? And then how many fewer hours can I work and make even more? And it was like a game I would have with myself because I worked all the time that I worked. How many of us have 8 hours or we block out 8 hours or whatever, and really we're working 2 of those 8 hours? The rest of the time, it's, you know, catching up and sending emails and all these things that may or may not be work. So I would just made a pact to myself that I would work all the time that I would work. I would work at a level 10, and then I'd be done. I would actually say to myself, now it's time for me. And just that agreement with myself that when I was in work mode, I worked.
Yeah.
And then when I was done, I was done.
Right.
And then
well,
you condition yourself to say, you know, life can be fabulous.
Yeah. And I'll give you a what if scenario, Shelby. My God,
mm-hmm.
you know, I started doing, I am so powerful that I can make 7 figures working 10 hours a week. And I know, you know, I guess Tim Ferriss does it in 4, right? But I really, really embrace that. How can I be so effective in these 10 hours and hold myself to it that, you know, because you're right. I mean, because we were just powering house and doing work. And
mm-hmm.
and most weeks I don't work over 10. I really don't. I will this week because I'm, you know, I'm doing these calls, but...
Right.
And I probably did last week because I was connecting with everyone. But the truth is I just do really effective work. I know what works. And it does take a little bit of time to know what is effective, what is high ROI. Right? High ROI activity,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I really think that it, you know, challenge yourself. It makes it a lot of fun. And there's a lot of energy around it. Like, how much can I create in 1 week working just 10 hours? I just have a blast doing that.
Well, and you get, you know, you do get immediate results. So it really comes down to, you know, anybody listening of letting go of what you've always done, which for some is very scary. You know,
mm-hmm.
for some people to not, you know, have their coffee at the same time and read their paper and take the same route, you know, life can seem, you know, unpredictable and not safe. But people have to, you know, ask, do I want safe or do I want what I want? Because I've been playing it safe. I've been doing these things. I've been thinking this way. And I've gotten thus far, and that's perfect. But in order for me to do something different, I need to think differently. I need to... of course, act differently. And the thing, too, is the more we spend time doing the things that we really like to do, you had mentioned you delegate a lot, so the things that you don't love to do, you get rid of. You get to work those 10 hours, and then, like you said, it's very productive. You get a lot to happen because you're in a good energy those 10 hours that you're doing it. There's not that dread. You know, people think by working 60 hours a week, when those during 40 of them, they're going, I can't believe I'm here. I hate it that I'm having to work this hard. If I really looked at my hourly wage versus what I'm making like 50 cents an hour. Again, this is that those cycles we get into, and then we wonder why throughout that whole unhappy journey we don't get what we want.
Yeah, you know, and I think that I got to the point, and especially in studying the law of attraction, that I said, I am only going to do things that bring me joy. I am not going to do anything that does not bring me joy. I really want to manifest in bliss. And that's what I do. And it flows. I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't have the frustration of a call that drops or the recording that doesn't work. I mean, I still have, you know, kinks, but I don't care. I don't care when I have typos. I've got a lot, you know, and,
right.
And you know what, but you know what, so what, if people can't accept me for who I am, then, you know, they can just get lost.
That's it.
You know,
but
because
it's an inner
game, I am,
right?
Human.
And that's because you feel right and you feel good about it. And so, you know, that's, again, life mirrors back. So if people, you know, are struggling in any area, if the clients or the type of clients or the paying clients, you don't have to fix the clients. You know, fix what it is you're telling yourself about the kind of clients that you're capable of working with. You know, seek the proof of the people who are working with the clients that you want. You know, look back, remember the times of the clients, the good clients. You know, pretend you had only good clients. You know, really do as much time as you can you thinking about it, you making those decisions. You know, when you claim I'm powerful and I can create whatever I think I want, it happens. I tell clients, make the decision, the how will appear.
Mm-hmm.
But when, as long as you keep saying I can't, I can't, I can't, then you lose all your power, and yeah, it's frustration and you know, gloom and doom. So replace those with I won't. And then you'll say, but I will. And then it changes everything.
Yeah. I had one person tell me, you know, that somebody came to him and said, you know, you I don't understand how, you know, you're making all this money. And, you know, he said, I was thinking in my head, but I thought it would be rude to say it. But he said, well, I'm willing to do what you're not willing to do. I am willing to do what you are not willing to do. And I thought that that was pretty powerful.
Well, yeah, I mean,
right? That's all it takes.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to say, you know, fabulous. You know, this is the thing. You know, whenever we judge something, it really does say more about us than it does them. And you may or may not have heard the phrase, but when you point at somebody, and if you were to point right now, you're pointing one finger at them, but there's three pointing back at you. And that's why we always feel so lousy when you say it's your fault, or and you point and you blame. And you've got to really realize that, you know, when we judge anything and say, oh, you know, this is rotten, this shouldn't be happening, again, that says more about what's going on within you than it does anything else.
Mm.
And people really don't always understand that. So I'll give you a great example. I was back in my corporate days, they used to, you know, a couple of times a year have these big company functions. And, you know, we had hundreds of employees, and then you were encouraged to bring your spouse and your kids. So then you've got, you know, hundreds of people and hundreds of kids. And I was there, and I was, you know, off to the side, and was almost watching this scenario in slow motion. And so there was a bunch of kids, about 40 kids, 20 on each side, and they were getting ready to have a water balloon fight. And they were using this tennis court that nobody was playing tennis on as, like, the divider. The net of the tennis court was the divider. They were on each side. They were filling up their balloons. You could see it all. They had big buckets of balloons. And out of the corner of my eye, I see one of our head executives with his wife walking right around the tennis court, like going to be right in the line of fire behind one of these sets of kids. And they're engrossed in this conversation. And all of a sudden, you know, 3, 2, 1, the water balloon fight starts. And as luck would have it, the executive and his wife get drenched, head to toe, sopping wet. And so I'm watching this. And then what was particularly interesting is the executive that I work with absolutely had a meltdown. He was screaming. He was telling the kids, you know, were you not paying attention? Don't you know there's other people here? And he was having his fit. And his wife started laughing. And so she was just laughing, and she's looking at her husband like, you know, what were we? We were the ones that weren't paying attention. I mean, they're here having their water balloon fight. You know, we had no business walking right behind them. And so some people would say, you know, well, everybody would automatically get upset if they were to get wet. And I say, no, see, because it had nothing to do with the water balloons and getting wet. Everything to do with what's going on inside. Because if it were the water balloons, every single person who got wet would have the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Being as though two people had two totally different reactions has nothing to do with the water balloon fight. All about the story they're telling themselves. And people really need to get what that means, because it's not what's happening to you. It's what you're telling yourself that it means. I spoke a couple weekends ago in San Jose at an event, and I said to people, how many of you have gone through and ordered a deli sandwich, you know, at Subway, Quiznos, or just your favorite deli, raise show of hands? And 100% of the people raised their hands in the room, as I'm sure most people on this call would. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, okay, so you go in, they ask you what kind of bread you want, and then you start down the fixing line, right? And they say, do you want tomatoes? And you say yes or no. And I said, if you're me, you say yes to tomatoes. You say no, no thanks on the lettuce. I get all the other vegetables. I don't get any mushrooms. And so you say yes, you say no. And I said to the audience, how many people have seen the Quizno or the Subway guy have a meltdown when you say no to something? How many have just seen them break into tears? They start telling the guy next to him, dude, he said no to the mayo. Can you believe it? What am I going to do? I'm never going to live again. And everybody kind of looked at me and started laughing, like, of course not. Of course the guy behind the deli does not get upset if you say no to something that he's offering you. But I said, how many of you, when somebody says no to whatever it is you're offering, have an absolute meltdown? How many of you go to the car with your tail between your legs, telling yourself that you've never been able to do this, nobody wants what you're offering, there's something wrong with you? I mean, how many of you start to go into a negative spiral? And like 80% of the hands raised, and you really have to stop and ask yourself, has nothing to do with what's happening. Everything to do with what you're making it mean.
Yeah. It's worthy.
And that really is where the power lies.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that comes down to, you know, worthiness. When we were beaten down when we were children, or didn't get the grades that our parents wanted, and they told us that we weren't any good. And I think that everyone who doesn't really have a can-do attitude has a degree of that worthiness. In my book, I call that the Wilma dragon, right? Wanting to be worthy, Wilma.
Yeah, and I think people need to really realize that they're grown up now. And it's much like, you know, even if mom told you, you know, you shouldn't have an earring, or you shouldn't, you know, there's so many things that as children we didn't allow our parents to tell us what to do. So any of you who drank before you were 21 or smoked before you were 18 or stayed out late past curfew even though they told you to be home on time, or still hung out with the friends that they told you they really didn't like, or still went and got a job even if they told you you shouldn't. I mean, there's a lot of things in life that our parents told us we should do that we didn't. And yet there are other things that they told us that we should believe, and we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you really need to understand that you're a grown-up and you get to pick, right? You get to pick if you want to work hard. You get to pick if you want to live off Social Security. You know, my mom and dad, that's their, oh, soon we'll be on Social Security. Like, that's the end-all, be-all. That's fine for them. That's not my goal, is to hit 62 and live, you know, on Social Security. But if that's their goal, fine.
Right.
So you get to choose, right? We get to choose what we want to accept for us. And this is, again, where the power of your mind comes in. Because, you know, whoever told you whatever they told you, it's like, you know, when they told you to come home by 10 and you said to your friends, you know what, no guts, no glory, I'm staying out till 11:30, let's go. I mean,
yeah,
you just get
you
to choose
to be
again.
And you used to be powerful like that.
Right.
You know,
and you wouldn't
be in a
stopped.
Place where I choose. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody will get in my way of it.
Right.
You know, I don't care what kind of grounding I get. I don't care what kind of trouble I get in. You know, when you skipped school, you didn't care what the consequences were. People need to go back to those feelings of not being denied it. It's like, you know, Friday skip day or senior skip day or whatever it is, you were doing it. Even though every person you met said, don't do it, you still did it. And yeah, we get adults. I tell you, I don't know what age it happens. And somebody says, I wouldn't, and that's all it takes. It's like we're these timid little three-year-olds on the sideline saying, please don't tell me I'm bad. And yet you need to think back to when you were 16. You know, I can think back to when my parents went out of town and I took my dad's truck because I was the only one that knew how to drive a stick, even though I didn't have my license. They told me not to drive the truck. I mean, think of the things we did.
Yeah.
And now you get in business and it's like we're scared, willowing in the corner before we even get going. And you know, you've just got to stop and ask yourself, where did that happen? Where did I allow myself to give up before I even started?
Yeah, I think that we all have it on some level. We all get scared sometimes.
For sure.
In different areas of our life. I mean, when you realize that it comes back to some story from, you know, and for me, I mean, one of the big ones that I had to release a long time ago was a boyfriend, a 5-year relationship with this guy that just continued to beat me down, told me I was overweight, you know, when I was like 130 and he was telling me that I was overweight and I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'll get on the treadmill. And I think that just constantly being beaten down. The truth is really all we have to do is step into ourselves. Would you agree? We just have to say, I am powerful. I am doing this. Not willing yourself, but come in and say, it's happening.
You know, I think if the one best advice I can give anybody is to like yourself. And, you know, the only person you look at when you look in the mirror is you. And so the only person you need to really make sure is happy, and I mean this wholeheartedly, no matter what anybody's been told, the only person you really need to take care of first is you. Because if you don't take care of you, you have nothing to give anybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I often use and reference people back to the airline principle, right? I mean, if you've ever ridden on an airplane, it says, you know, if the oxygen masks come down, even if you're a mother, you put your mask on first.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't put your mask on first and you pass out, you can't help the kids.
Yeah.
So you really have to take care of yourself first. And then you've got it to give to somebody else. But if you don't, or if you've been in this pattern of, again, jumping through the hoops to make somebody else happy, you can jump all day long. You will never find it within yourself if you're always looking for someone outside of you to say, I'm really happy with you, I'm really pleased with you. When I look in the mirror, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happened, no matter if I just blew the talk, no matter if I just killed the talk, I'm proud of me because it's the best I did at the time. Something's good's going to come out of it. I learned a lot from it, and I'm okay with me.
Yeah,
but if you're not okay with you, then that's where we get into, you know, something happens and it really throws us off kilter. Somebody says something and we really let it mean something else. You know, we've all had the experience of having a shoddy day and then somebody cuts you off and you really lose it. And then you've had the experience, again, of having a great day and somebody cuts you off and you could care less. And it comes back to that principle with the water balloons. Nothing to do with what's happening, all to do with what we're making it mean. So the more we can take care of our mental conversation, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I'm learning, I'm improving every day, I'm on my way, it's on its way. That's like my other favorite mantra. It's on its way. And in line with that, then, you know, life really does shake hands with you. It really does work with you. Whereas if you're beating yourself up or looking for somebody outside of you to say you're doing a great job, I'm telling you, it's a real risky way to go because you're always looking for someone to give that to you.
Yeah.
So the sooner you can get it from you, the better.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes. I want to see if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your Mind Powers program and what it entails.
Sure. My Mind Powers program is a membership program. It's a monthly membership. There's about 80 some odd hours worth of audios, all my audio programs. People can listen, watch videos, download ebooks. And essentially what it does is it challenges the way you're currently thinking. It looks it through audios, through working with me, monthly online chats, live Q&As, you can begin to notice what beliefs you're making true in your life. And then you get to choose if you want to keep them. But again, most of us are running on that habitual, this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be. We don't stop to notice what beliefs we have in our way. And so it's more to challenge you and say, okay, what is it that I keep? What are my convictions that I keep fighting for, those limitations that I continue to make true in my life, in my business, and how I attract the relationships? People think that, you know, business is just about orders. But I'm here to tell you, if you've got a great network, you can move mountains with a network, with masterminds. Support in all areas is critical. People you can bounce ideas off of, people you can just, you know, let things go. You know, I always say that friends are God's way of, you know, making up for our parents. So you always have really great friends, and it's because you can speak aloud in front of friends and get rid of that that story. And so that's what the program is designed to do. So you can find out more about it if it interests you at shelbycollinge.com/mindpowers.htm. There's a few audios you can listen to for free of charge there as well.
thelifestylemaster.com. And every one of our speakers, they have a link to kind of get into their world, thelifestylemaster.com. You can just keep going back there all week. I'm trying to collect everything there. There will be a link to Shelby's website. There's a link to her Mind Powers program. And there's also going to be a link by 8 p.m. Eastern time to the audio from today's class if you missed something or if you just want to collect it on your iPod to kind of remind yourself of everything. It is there.
Well, in closing, I would just like, you know, challenge people to give it a try. I mean, anything that I've said, anything that Jen and I have talked about that just seems like too good to be true or this possibly can't happen, I mean, this is where you get to prove it to yourself. And I would really encourage you to think about what you want. And again, spend more time what-ifing all day. You know, what if this happened? What if somebody showed up? What if the ideal client? What if, you know, I got a rebate check? Whatever it is, you know, spend some time going back to how you were when you were 15 in high school and people were telling you no. Seriously. I mean, I often tell clients, if you can reconnect to that childlike that won't be stopped, then you won't be stopped. And the universe
Absolutely.
Really does step it up when you step it up. So, you know, try it for a week, try it through these calls. And I would also encourage you all to listen more than once, because every time you listen to an audio or you read a book, you pick up something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to it with a different frame of mind, you come to it with a different consciousness. And so I always say repetition is the mother of learning and the father of action. It really will hit it home and solidify it if you listen to, you know, these as many times as you can and pick from it the things that really resonate with you. Anything that, you know, sent a little twing, ooh, like, ooh, that's a good thing or ooh, that's a bad thing, there's something there for you. So, you know, listen to it again and see what it is. It'll happen.
Terrific. Thank you very much.